It is said that wherever Krishna resides, that is the most holy of all holy places. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. And Krishna is non-different than his name, non-different than his form, non-different than the narrations of the qualities, pastimes, and words that he has spoken. So wherever the devotees come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, that is where all holy places reside. Within our own homes, if we put Krishna in the center, our home becomes a holy place. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that when he comes to his home, he sees his very house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan, because everyone in the family is coming together to worship the deity of the Lord, to offer prasad to the Lord, to live purely according to the instructions of the Lord, and to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This place, Cross Maidan, is a very special holy place for me, because this is where my real spiritual life began. I left home in the United States of America when I was a teenager, seeing that whatever degree of material advancement one may achieve in life, there's no happiness, there's no fulfillment, there's no purpose. The richest people in the world are most inclined to suicide, to seeing psychiatrists. They have no less degree of diseases. Despite such advancement of civilization all around me, I saw that families were breaking up. Practically every family, children were rejecting the parents. The parents were divorcing and rejecting each other. There was rampant immorality. And yet, driving beautiful cars on beautiful roads, with fine clothes and beautiful houses, television and telephone in every room of every house. I came looking for truth, looking for God. After about a year in the Himalayas, in 1971, I was coming through Bombay, and I was walking down a road close by, and I saw a big sign saying Hare Krishna Festival. I did not know what is Hare Krishna. I had basically studied the Old Testament, the New Testament of the Christian scripture, the Quran of the Islam faith. I was worshiping Lord Shiva in the Himalayas. I had lived in Buddhist monasteries. I was roaming with sadhus. So I was very open. What is this Hare Krishna? So this was the first pandal that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami held. It was here in Cross Maidan. And there was large crowd, perhaps 3-4 times bigger than tonight. And I was sitting somewhere near the back, and the devotees were having kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada was on his Vyasasan. And one devotee came all the way back and took me by the hand and said, Srila Prabhupada wants you to sit beside him. I asked, how does he know me? He said, I do not know. So he took me by the hand and I came onto the stage, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting, and he signaled, please sit here. So I sat next to his Vyasasan. and he gave his lecture. And after his lecture, he was just walking off the stage, and I went to touch his lotus feet as he was walking by me. And one devotee became very angry and ordered me, "No one is allowed to touch Srila Prabhupada's feet." So I took my hand back. And Srila Prabhupada looked at me, and here at Cross Maidan, he gave me the first instruction that my eternal spiritual master had given me. He looked at me and smiled and said, "You can touch my feet." So I took the dust of his lotus feet. And that was the beginning of my real spiritual life. Spiritual life really begins when we come in contact with a pure devotee of Krishna. This is the first time in my life I am speaking at Cross Maidan. So I consider it a great benediction given to me by my spiritual master that he is allowing me to worship him here by repeating his words at this holy place. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he instructed Rupa Goswami at Prayag, he explained the very summary essence of all spirituality. It was this instruction that Srila Prabhupada brought to the world. I would like to very briefly explain the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Rupa Goswami. And I pray that you all listen very carefully, very attentively, because this is the most important mission that can bring about an awakening of the real treasure of love of God within all of our hearts. Srila Rupa Goswami, as His Holiness Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj explained, was a very, very wealthy government agent. He and his brother were the prime minister and home ministers of all of Bengal. They had vast treasuries, palaces, gardens, and they were practically ruling the kingdom. But because they were in the association of such materialistic, worldly people, they considered that it was all a hollow, shallow waste of time. So they left it all to live simple lives as mendicants in the service of Lord Chaitanya. It was in that holy place of Prayag where the Ganges, the Jamuna, and the river Saraswati meet together that Srila Rupa Goswami surrendered his life and appealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to instruct him. Although he and his brother Sanatan were the greatest of scholars, perfectly learned in Sanskrit, Persian, and all of the other classical languages, and they knew the scriptures thoroughly, when they approached their guru, who happened to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in his divine avatar of Sri Chaitanya, with straw between their teeth, they fell at his lotus feet and proclaimed themselves to be the most sinful of all sinners, who had wasted their entire lives engrossed in materialistic association, begging the Lord to accept them as her servant. Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami that the process of bhakti or devotion is like an unlimited ocean. There is no length or breadth that could be measured. I will attempt only to explain one drop from this vast ocean. And then Lord Chaitanya said that there are innumerable universes. And in each universe, there are innumerable living entities. And these living entities are taking birth in 8,400,000 species of life, 900,000 aquatics, 2 million plants, trees, immovable. And then so many millions of reptiles and insects, 3 million species of four-legged beasts, and 400,000 species of human life. Of human beings, which is such a rare, rare birth, most of human population is uncivilized. Civilized means following Vedic principles, following the laws of God, the scriptures. One of the most disheartening conditions to see is how this great land of India, Bharatvarsha, which since time immemorial has been the capital of truth, knowledge, and spirituality, is giving up the own spiritual heritage to chase after the uncivilized materialistic ways of the West. Recently, one person in an assembly like this stood up and told me, "How can you convince me that there is a God? I do not believe that there can be a God." I explained, after seeing the hollowness, the shallowness, the utter frustration of materialistic Western civilization, so many of us have left that culture to come to India, which is the greatest spiritual nation in the world. It is the home of such avatars as Krishna, Ram, Narasimhadev, and practically all the great avatars. It is the home of the Vedas, the most scientific, complete, encyclopedic scriptures, in which all other scriptures of the world are like tiny, tiny little summary studies. It is the home of so many great rishis, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Vallabhacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the responsibility of India to give spiritual life and perfection to the world. And we come here to find the Indians doubting if there is even the existence of God. What a shame. What a misfortune. What a pity. Why? Why we're selling out the greatest touchstone of our transcendental culture to chase after the dirt and the filth of materialism. Recently in America, I was talking to Indian family. I was giving program, and people were coming to me one after another with problems. One told me, "My daughter, although we're good Hindus, my daughter is pregnant and we don't even know who the man is. She's not even married. What should we do?" And 5 minutes later, someone came and told me, "My son has died of an overdose of drugs. I don't know what to do." If you import the opulences of the West, but you give up your own spiritual culture, this is definitely 100% what you will get: immorality and suffering, frustration, dismantling of families, and no purpose to life anymore. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami that most of the world is uncivilized. And those who are civilized, those who follow Vedic principles, most of them only do it by lip service. They perform their rituals, they perform their pujas, but they do not know what they're doing or why, and they're still addicted to sinful activities. It is all a show. People wonder in India why their children are not taking to the process of Sanatana Dharma. It's easy to understand, because they are being trained in Western education, where they are taught to doubt everything and evaluate everything scientifically, not to accept anything on faith. That is Western education. And then they see their parents performing pujas or rituals, and the parents do not even know why they're doing it, because it is our tradition, because it is our family. And therefore the children are becoming atheistic. And in the college, they're becoming grossly materialistic, and the parents do not know what to do. Lord Chaitanya explained that of those who actually are following Vedic principles, not just out of lip service, but actually following, most of them are doing it in the path of karmakanda to achieve material benedictions. They want to worship various demigods, to have good health, to have good wife or husband, to have good occupation, lots of money, victory over one's competitors. But ultimately, such people are frustrated. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dhuka jona evate atyanta banta konte anate sudamate buddha. Krishna says an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are born of the contact with the senses and their object. So then people follow these principles because they're frustrated with life in this world. They want to attain higher planets. Above this earth planet, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Maharloka, Satyaloka, where we can achieve the planets of these various demigods, where the duration of our life can be millions upon millions of years, with all sorts of elegant luxuries that this world has never seen, no disease, everything we could possibly want materially, millions of times over, are found in the heavenly planets. But Krishna says in Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartanorjana mamupetyatu konteya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet, Brahma loka, down to the lowest, they are all places of misery. They are all places of birth and death. When our good karma is expired, we lose everything. We die. And then we have to take up in some suffering condition of life. So Lord Chaitanya explained, out of frustration through the karmakanda system, people take to the jnanakanda. They become wise. They realize that this world is a place of misery. It is martyaloka. So they perform great austerities to merge into the impersonal aspect of the supreme, mukti, liberation. But such souls find no peace, no bliss, ananda mayo vyashat, because every living entity is pleasure-seeking, looking for love, loving relationships. Lord Chaitanya explained that every spirit soul, according to Svetasvatara Upanishad, is when 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. And every spirit soul is part of Krishna, part of Bhagavan or God, and is eternally seeking reunion in the loving service of Bhagavan. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sadurlabha prasantatma khotishvapi mahamune. Out of millions and millions of those who have attained mukti, liberation, and out of millions and millions of those who have attained perfections in the yogic siddhis, It is very rare to find one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a person can achieve real peace. Because only such a pure devotee is free of any material, selfish desires. Savai pung sang paro dharamo yato bhaktirad hokshaji ahoita ki aprati hata shijatma supraseded. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Supreme Lord. So after wandering through so many universes, through so many species of life, after millions and millions of births and deaths, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasari Bhai Bhakti Latabija. One who is most fortunate comes in the association of a pure devotee of Krishna. And that pure devotee, that representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, implants the seed of bhakti within the heart. And when that seed of bhakti is nourished, it fructifies in the real ecstasy and pleasure that we are all seeking. Lord Chaitanya explains that we must water that seed of bhakti through the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This process of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing the pastimes and the message of Krishna, it awakens the dormant love of God that is within the heart of every living being. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunohe Sravanari Suri Cheti Koriye Udoye. Pure love of Krishna, ecstatic ras of devotion is within the heart of every living being. By chanting his names, by associating with his devotees, by hearing his glories, this natural love is awakened within our heart. So we must very carefully perform our sadhana as the first priority of our life. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes use the example that he saw in a newspaper that a husband was talking to his wife. It was like a cartoon, and the husband was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the wife was saying, can't, 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 because we don't have time. And we hear this logic wherever we go, especially in this city of Bombay. I don't have time to come to such pravachans on a regular basis. I do not have time to come and associate with devotees at the temple of the Lord. I do not have time to chant Maha Mantra regularly or to read the Shastras. Krishna explains that this is life of mudha. It is explained in Vishnu Purana that the greatest tragedy, the greatest dilemma in all of existence is to waste one moment without remembering Krishna. Any good businessman knows that how wise you make your investments is what makes you successful or failure. Will you put your investments where you absolutely know 100% will not give you anything back in the end? Is anyone so foolish? Yes, the whole world is so foolish. Investing all the time and energy of this valuable human life, ayur harati vaipung sham udyan astam chayonas. Every time the sun rises and sets, we are one day closer to death. How are we investing the most precious commodity in all creation, the time that this human life provides? We only have a few years. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham, and death could come today or tomorrow. It is uncertain. I met one person. He told me that according to a great astrologer, his horoscope said he was going to die when he was 75 years old. So he said, I will put aside my Krishna consciousness for some time and enjoy. I have plenty of time. And he died the next year. There is no certainty. And we are investing all our precious human energy in what? In making money, in having nice home, nice cars, in feeding and clothing our families. No doubt, these are responsibilities that must be taken care of. But it is a subordinate responsibility to the purpose and goal of life, which is to invest our time and energy on the path of self-realization, of Krishna consciousness. And that comes by associating with the devotees of the Lord, with receiving the seed of bhakti from a proper spiritual master, and then very carefully and attentively watering it by regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya explained, as you are watering very carefully through good sadhana, the seed of devotion within your heart, you also must protect it very carefully, especially when it is in its tender stages. It could easily be uprooted, trampled, and destroyed. And this comes by very carefully avoiding sinful activities, by following the essential four regulative principles. No illicit sex. Sex simply for the purpose of sense gratification, especially outside of marriage. No intoxication. No taking of addictions. Alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, coffee, tea. They are all habit forming. They make our minds and our senses dependent on some drug for its peace and survival. We want to learn to depend on God and on God's mercy. No gambling, speculation, and no causing of violence to other, which is incurred through eating meat or fish or eggs. If we're serious about spiritual life, real spiritual life, we must follow these four regulative principles. We must pursue a pure and pious life. And we must associate with holy people. This is the most important principle. Because what you associate with is what you become. This is a law of nature. If you put the iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. If you put the iron rod in ice, it becomes cold as ice. If your children associate with criminals, they will become criminals. If they associate with drug addicts, they will become drug addicts. If they associate with saints, they will become saints. But they will do what you do. Pitana sasyaj janinina sasyat. It is the first and foremost responsibility of any parent who has a child to live in such a way by their example and words that that child never has to take birth again in this material world. And yet we are so much thinking that we have responsibility to put them through college, to give them nice clothes, to give them a good inheritance when we die. But the real responsibility, according to God, according to Krishna, is that this child becomes liberated from the cycle of birth and death, that this child attains the real ecstasy of love of Krishna in this life, and that is your duty. But we don't have time. We have so much time for everything else. And when I'm done watching the cinemas and I'm done working like a dog through my work in the day, when I'm done with all these things, if there's some time, I will come to the satsang. We should make it first priority in our life. Arjuna, he was a warrior, and he was responsible. He had several wives. He was a military man, and he fought the battle, but he took time before to sit and attentively hear from Krishna the Bhagavad Gita. Then he could perform his work in divine consciousness. People tell me often that the meaning of Gita is just to perform your work honestly. But Krishna rejects that idea. Jagyaratha kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana taratam karma kontaya mukta sangha parambraja. Krishna says that any work that is not done as an offering of sacrifice in devotion to Vishnu will only bind one to the miseries of material existence. Even pious work, even philanthropic work, if it is not done in divine consciousness of God, of Krishna, it will only entangle us in the laws of karma. Therefore, it is very important that we strengthen and fortify our spiritual consciousness by regularly associating with devotees. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he risked his life. He sacrificed so much just to give the world the opportunity to associate with devotees. Srila Gopal Krishna Maharaj was explaining how Srila Prabhupada went across the ocean at the age of 70 with nothing except complete faith in the process of devotion, complete faith in the order of his guru and in the holy name of Krishna. And throughout the world, he opened hundreds and hundreds of temples and distributed millions and millions of books. And he explained, this is only for one purpose, to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees, to understand the real true goal of life and make their lives perfect. So we must make these holy spiritual principles the most important priority of our life. Every day we should chant the holy names attentively before anything else. We should put the deity of Krishna in our home and center our family around service to that. We should associate with devotees and follow the divine guidance that Srila Prabhupada has given us by reading his books. This is our real prime duty. So Lord Chaitanya explained that if we protect our devotional kripa through good association, through living a pure life and watering it by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names, then gradually that seed becomes a creeper. And it begins to grow. And as it grows, we have to be very careful not to commit offenses, especially to devotees, to honor and respect devotees. Then the creeper will grow without hindrance. It will go beyond all of the higher planets and go to the very border of this material existence, where there is an ocean called the causal ocean, often called the viraja, where the modes of material nature no longer exist. And the devotion within our hearts pierces through the viraja and enters into the spiritual sky, where it comes into Brahma Loka, or the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahma Jyoti is the goal of all spiritual practices of the impersonalists. where they want to merge into the infinite formless light of the Supreme. But Lord Chaitanya explains that a devotee has no attraction for such mukti. In fact, he considers mukti a worse fate than going to hell. Because in losing consciousness of our eternal identity, there is no question of loving service or spiritual ras. So the devotional creeper from our hearts goes beyond the Brahma Loka and enters into the divine spiritual planet of Krishna, Vaikuntha, the topmost of the Vaikunthas, Goloka, Vrindavan. And there, the creeper of devotion bears fruit. And that is the fruit of pure, unalloyed love of Krishna, prema. And that feet falls at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And when the gardener tastes the sweetness of that fruit, all of his desires are eternally fulfilled. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punam ratashvadanam sarvatmasna paramparam vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. The pleasure we are all looking for is the pleasure of the reunion of the soul with Krishna. And that reunion is the unity of love, of surrender, of devotion. We are eternally the servants of Krishna. In that stage, Lord Chaitanya explains to Srila Rupa Goswami, we understand that bhakti is so powerful that even the Supreme Absolute Truth, the controller of all controllers, becomes subordinate to the love of his devotee. In Vrindavan, when Mother Yashoda was churning the butter, was cooking the milk, and Krishna secretly went to steal the butter, out of her motherly affection, she was so much concerned with the welfare of her child, she wanted to teach him a lesson. So Krishna ran away out of fear. He was trembling. Krishna accepts the position of subordination to the love of his devotee. When the gopis would tell Krishna to sing and dance like a puppet, he would sing and dance for their pleasure. When Nanda Maharaj would return to his home, Krishna would take the shoes of his father on his head and bring them to his father's lotus feet. How is it? Krishna became the chariot driver, the driver of Arjuna. Bhishma Dev explains in Srimad Bhagavat that this is the inconceivable nature of love, of devotion, that it is Krishna's supreme most pleasurable pastime to voluntarily agree to be subordinate to the love of his devotee. So this is the great and true goal of life. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness, pure love of God, is the original consciousness of every living being. And we have such a wonderful opportunity. Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada has given the world such a wonderful opportunity. I remember it was here in Cross Maidan in 1971. I heard Srila Prabhupada tell the population of the Indians, perhaps 10,000. And he told them that you are all so madly chasing after the things of the West. Therefore, I have brought Westerners, Americans and Europeans, wearing the traditional dhoti and tilak, sari, shaved heads. If you want to import something wonderful from America and the West, Here is the greatest thing you can. The Americans have come to teach you how to live a pure life according to the teachings of Gita and chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada used to say, wherever he would go in the world, when people would say, "Why? What have you come to teach?" "I have come to teach you what you have forgotten, that you are the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord." So give this greatest, most munificent charity to your loved ones, the charity of the Association of Devotees and the holy name of Krishna. Please, we invite you humbly, come to our temples. Receive Guru Maharaj's supreme mercy. Receive Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's supreme mercy. Krishna descended in this age of Kali Yuga to give what no other incarnation had ever given. He came as Lord Chaitanya to distribute Prema Bhakti through the simple process of just associating with Krishna's devotees and attentively, regularly chanting his holy names. And he taught us the process. In our own private lives, in our home or in the temple, we should chant japa and mala regularly every day, like medicine. If a doctor gives you medicine, you do not take it when you feel like it. You take it according to prescription, regularly, and it will have the greatest effect. Enechi asadi maya nashi bodolagi harina mahamantra lao tumimagi. Lord Chaitanya has given the medicine that will cure all of our ills, this Hare Krishna mahamantra. And the Yuga Dharma is especially been given in the form of the congregational chanting of the holy names. We're devotees. It may be two or three or four in our family. It may be 20 or 30 in a small temple. Or it may be 5,000 as we have the opportunity to experience tonight. The congregational chanting of the holy name is the most wonderful, the most simple, and the most powerful process of purifying our hearts and minds. As we dance according to Lord Chaitanya's prescriptions, we should not think that it is a dance like in this material world, but it is an offering of each and every limb of our body in the loving service of the Lord and his holy name. And when we chant very loudly, with great enthusiasm, we are worshiping Krishna in the most powerful and perfect process of meditation. And that tumultuous sound of thousands of people chanting the holy names echoes and spreads throughout the universe and purifies all living beings. So at this time we invite you to kindly accept the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and join us in this Haris Nam Sankirtan movement. Sri Radha Gopinathji will explain the simple process in which Lord Chaitanya taught us to chant and to dance.